comment on this. In Deuteronomy 6 and 7 that you read there, where it says, and thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children, and thou shalt talk to them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. A particular emphasis there. You know, a lot of times we emphasize the part about sitting down and having daily Bible study, which I think is a tremendously important part. But we many times forget the other part there where it says, you know, sit us and walk us and lie down. I mean, everything we do we teach the Bible. And just a point that I have implemented and seems to be helping some is, what about the things that our kids, and specific reference to our little children stuff? Like our children do things on a daily basis, like play games and different stuff like that. Why not implement Bible concepts and help them learn Bible concepts into that? And specifically what I'm talking about, you mentioned about the apostles. We have a go fishing card game which has the 12 apostles' name on it, and you go fishing for the 12 apostles. I think that's a great way to teach the kids the apostles' name. There's some various games out there where you can teach Bible concepts through games, like the Ungame and some different ones, where instead of playing Monopoly or Risk or Clue or some secular game with your kids, why not play something and teach them some Bible truth? And then and the other thing I thought about, too, was just, and then when you get on up, there's Bible trivia and different games, which you can have fun with your kids and your family as a family unit and learn Bible concepts at the same time. And then the last thing was in the realm of what kind of material we give our kids. Kids are going to do stuff like listen to music, have certain toys and stuff. Do we always ensure that we provide a good source of, like, Christian music, all the wonderful tapes and stuff that the Brotherhood puts out? Do we give those to our kids from a little age of one or two and get them used to listening to Christian music so they don't go up and start listening to rock music, country western, and a bunch of other alternatives? I'd like to comment on that.
Well, obviously, if we today would instill in our children's mind and ourselves and our spouse the importance of all of these things that you mentioned and continue building on that, our homes would be a much happier place and people would enjoy our homes better as they come in there. You know, the neighborhood we live in is a good neighborhood in urban. The children next door, you know, they don't understand fully why, you know, we don't have a big Christmas tree out. Like, they've got one in each bedroom and I think in one in their living room and all that. They don't understand that all. But, you know, that doesn't just totally break us away. You know, they come over and we visit and we study about, you know, spiritual things. You'll have a tremendous impact on your kids as well as other people in the community if you do a lot of what you just talked about.
Alan, I feel that you've covered this real good, and I would have known this beforehand because I had opportunity many times to visit in the home you grew up in. And I know, and most of us preachers that's been there know, it's Bible study day and night. That doesn't mean that they take time to go to the grocery store and go here and there, but every time you come in, it's pick up the Bible and things like that. I thought you had some good suggestions on the book. I would tell everyone to be very cautious about some of those denominational storybooks. I was taught this from a child, that when the neighbors had them and things like this, we kind of stuck with the Bible. We did get one or two, and it might have been had a denominational tone to it. If anyone should ever get a hold of Aunt Charlotte's stories of the Bible, that's very, I thought it was very good because the children were always asking, Aunt Charlotte this and that, after they got through with the story, you know, and would kind of review things. The Hertel Bible Company puts out a very good Bible story book that has questions at the end. It would be more or less geared maybe for teenagers, but we read them to our children some when they were growing up. My point is also, and you might like to comment briefly on this, I'll ask it in a question. Wouldn't it be hard for us to go out and do personal work and ask other people for home studies in their home if we did not have Bible studies and home studies in our own home?
Right. You know, a lot of people, just like a new convert, man and wife here in Irving, where we live, you know, they're finding it a little bit more difficult, but the longer they're studying, the easier they find it becoming. One of the brethren and I was there last week studying their home, and the brethren continued to follow up this particular study. and now they're doing it more, it's kind of part of them. They feel like there's something, an empty void if they don't do it. So if we don't do it, there's no way that we can really convince other people to do it. You know, obviously a question asked by many salespeople, you know, when they're trying to sell you in a product, is the question, well, do you have one? You know, it'd be kind of embarrassing for a salesman not to have the product they're trying to sell and peddle to other people. And obviously, if we're trying to study the Bible with people, and they're not willing to study the Bible with their family group, and this will be obvious as time goes along, that they're not be very effective.
Appreciate everything you said so far. One book that I grew up and I can recommend is the Children's Bible. Just about every bookstore has that. And it's put out by many faiths, the Jews and denominations. And of course, you've discretion reading that, as well as another book I've seen. It's made by the same people that wrote the Bible story, the Seventh-day Adventist, Uncle Arthur's Bedtime Stories. Both of these things, of course, are no match for the Bible, but they're a good aid, that's all I have to say there.
You know, as Miles mentioned, obviously you've got to take great discretion on certain Bible story books. However, I really take great caution to reading, you know, Bibles that are paraphrases, you know, to my kids, lest they get the idea that, you know, what you read one thing that's right, you can read the other and it'd be right too. My general Bible reading to the family, I like to be from
you can look at the rest of you boys, and I know a number of the family, and I really appreciate what he's done. Obviously, he practiced what he preaches. And there's a lot of things that you said today that I can relate to, and anybody that knows me and knows my little three-year-old that runs around here like you know, a chicken with his head cut off, I need your help. I think one suggestion, I hope that all of us would want to do this. Sometimes I get the feeling from some that we're not all in the same boat, so to speak, and we're not a team or a family working together. I need everybody's help with my three-year-old, you know, and teaching him, whether he's at your house or visiting you, whatever, I need your help in teaching him the scriptures also, and I think that's one thing that we might suggest each other, to hold hands and help each other. One of the things my three-year-old, and this was before he even turned three, liked to hear was a cassette tape on David and Goliath. Now, the accuracy of that tape, I, you know, can't say was, 100%. It was animated, but I tell you what, that boy wanted to hear that story about David and Goliath, you know, every day. When, you know, he got up out of bed, he wanted to hear his tape on David and Goliath. There are a lot of good cassette tapes that you could buy, Bible stories that the children would enjoy. Raymond suggested a book to me, Raymond Fox. I believe it's called Read and See. Now, of course, again, like it's been said, it's not totally accurate, but my boy has enjoyed reading. You know, I've read, sit down and read those stories out of that book to him. It has small pictures, but it's amazing to me what a child will pick up. I read him one story about Moses and the burning bush, and the very next day, he quoted what God said to Moses, you know, and it was just amazing to me what, you know, they could pick up. Every time I pick that book up, he wants to hear the story about Moses and the burning bush. So we can have an impact on our children in teaching them the Bible at a very young age. Also, and I think you kind of touched on it by the scriptures, grandparents can help immensely in the teaching of our children the scriptures. When grandma and grandpa want the kid over at their house or babysitter, whatever the case is, they can, you know, fortify what we've tried to teach them at our home and our houses, the scriptures. Also, I'd like to say that my wife tells me that my boy lives to see daddy come home. Now, I work third shift, I have to sleep during the day. And he wants me to get up out of bed. He lives for the time when I get up out of bed because he wants to do things with me. Now, I would hope that that's true with every dad in the audience and in the world, that they see that child loves his dad and wants to be with his dad. Now, whatever dad does, he wants to do, whether it's working on the car, reading the Bible, working on the computer on a lesson, or whatever it is, That child wants to be in it and learn about it and know about it. So dads, you can have a, you know, a great influence upon those child. Now, I'd like to also say that I've been with a few day session with James on how to deal with the family and problems. And one of the things that he shared in those sessions was the fact that children without boys especially without dads, are the society, they'll be in trouble. They'll eventually be in trouble because they don't have a dad. So that shows again the importance of a dad being home, or the male figure dealing with boys, at least specifically. And I like to also say, I know I could talk on and on, but one of the things that you said, and as the Old Testament teaches, teaching your child, you know, in every aspect of life, on whatever you're doing. I taught my boy the New Testament, the books of the New Testament, before I started teaching him them before he could even talk. While we were taking a bath, I would teach him and go over the New Testament scriptures, and he was amazed. And I had one lady in this congregation specifically said, I didn't think you could teach a two-year-old the New Testament scripture. When he was able to talk, he can quote, you know, the whole New Testament books. He can just rattle them off like it's just second nature. And it's because I spent time, every time I went in the bathtub, I wouldn't let him out of the bathroom. I made a specific point of going over those Bible books. That was just a habit I had. And I would go down the road with me and him. He'd want to go somewhere with me. And I just said, okay, we'd start saying Bible books. I went over and over them. He knows it. And we can teach our children a lot of things if we'll just, instead of just sightseeing while we're going down the road, you know, do some of these things. I appreciate what you did.
Thank you. You know, the two things that I would like to touch up on that you mentioned, the idea of the grandparents. You know, during my recent move about 6 months ago from Houston, Missouri to Irving, Texas, I read across a sermon that my grandmother wrote. Of course, you know, called me up and we had a little, you know, grandmother to grandson discussion. And she wrote it out for me and had it from detail from, you know, we welcome you to stand and sing. I mean, she had it from beginning to end that she wanted me to read over and study and perhaps give the church. Grandparents are tremendous value. Kids at an early age, up to, you know, a certain age, a lot of them, they love to go home with grandparents and do things with grandparents. I know from my rearing, and probably from a lot of you here too, you know, when you go to grandparents, you still hear, you know, book, chapter, verse. You still hear Bible stories, and the quality of teaching is definitely there. And then also the teaching my children. You know, that really is important to me. And we've discussed this, you know, the congregation that we're a member of now, we have a number of young couples with a number of young children. And we've established several things together as parents and talking. You know, for example, you know, no gum and no candy in church. And we've talked about the idea. It'd be nice if we'd all be pretty consistent with this. And in church, you know, if one kid has it, the other kid wants it, and you have a little bit of chaos there, it'd be nice if all of us would implement a plan. Listen, in church, there's no gum, there's no candy in church. That's just the way it is. There's no just going out for water during church. And several plans we've talked about, and we've not just really got dogmatic about it, but we've discussed it. Different values that we have that we think are necessary for our children to try to encourage them to learn to respect other people's no-doubt view, but equally as well to learn proper procedure and behavior in the assembly of the church. So I appreciate that.
Dan?
Sometimes we think that other people think the Bible is not interesting. Some time ago, I read about a fellow from Atlanta, Georgia. It took several months and memorized the book of Revelation. And then he came to Tulsa and advertised that he was going to give that recitation. And 450 people showed up, and he said they sat there pretty well mesmerized while he took a couple of hours and just recited the book of Revelation.
Memorize the Bible passages, a lot of people say they cannot do, but if it's a top priority to them, there's no doubt. And I enjoy hearing, you know, kids, my children and others, quoting and memorizing several passages. One of the several things about passages, if a child has a weakness, or we have a weakness, learn a Bible reference that teaches about that subject. It should help us too, as well as memorizing other things in the Bible.
Thank you.
Alan, I'm pretty novice at child rearing. I'm just getting started. But I feel like as a whole, a lot of husbands and wives enter into child rearing with a defeated attitude from the very beginning. And they just hope and pray that their child will not be corrupted and that somehow, miraculously, he'll be converted when he reaches an accountable age. And they keep them at home and they homeschool them. They're afraid to send them off to a school because they might be corrupted at school. I think we ought to take a more assertive attitude, and we're going to raise our kids up and we're going to send them off to preach to them kids at school and influence them. Instead of just worrying to death that they're going to be influenced somehow from somebody else. My little girl, I send her down the road to the neighbor's house. She preaches them all the time. There's no telling how many people I take her with me every time I go to town this time of the year, because every time Christmas brought up, man, she tells them about Christmas, you know. And I'm not worried that, oh, she may start wanting to have Christmas in our home, because, man, she goes out there and tells people it's wrong. They shouldn't be doing this. God doesn't like a tree in the home and stuff like that. And I think we just start with just a defeated attitude to begin with. And we ought to start taking the attitude, I'm going to raise my children, and they are going to be leaders, and they are going to bring people to Jesus Christ through their influence.
You know, it's true. A lot of parents probably have started out as a defeated, before they get going, a defeated foe almost. You know, I believe we can have confidence in Scripture that if we do the things the Bible teaches in principle, you know, the end result will be very rewarded. You know, as far as, you know, comment on homeschooling, you know, a lot of parents have selected, for various reasons, to teach their kids at home. I'm not going to knock anybody for what selection they make, but they make the decision that's best for their family and in whatever situation. Sometimes may be good, sometimes may be bad. It depends on the family. Whatever they make, but they're going to live with it, and it will be very important. And I like the idea of the little kids going next door to talk to parents or talk to the neighbors about religion. I don't know how young I was, but I was pretty young when I went across the street one time to our neighbor. Her name was Pittman. And I talked to her about, because I was worried about it. She was an older lady, and she was, you know, one foot in the grave and the other on the banana filling, and she was in for about a second. And I was a kid. I began to talk to her and wanted her to come to church. Well, she wouldn't ever come. She said, well, I'm a member of so-and-so church. I said, well, just get your preacher over here and I'll talk to him. So she did. She got the preacher. Of course, Dad wasn't about to take that, you know. So Dad said, I tell you what I'm doing. I'm going to go too. Now, I just sit right over here and make sure it doesn't get out of hand, because I was probably 9 years old, maybe 8, 9, or 10. And Dad just sat over there in another chair waiting. He never had to speak a word. We had our pretty good round there for quite a while. Children can do a tremendous amount. I appreciate it.
You mentioned Deuteronomy 6, where the law said, thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children, and thou shalt talk with them when thou sittest in thy house and walkest by the way, and so on and so forth. The first part there says to teach them diligently. The second part says to talk with them. And that seems to be more of an application of it. And sometimes we're about to rise up and we lie down and we're walking by the way of teaching them, you know, the doctrine there. Well, there it says our conversation bound up in it and practical application of it. That also seems to be the idea in Exodus 12, where they said, what does this Passover mean? And so when your children says, what does Passover mean? Just explain it to them. No, this is the Lord's Passover. And, you know, talking about the books, things like that, it might be effective for many of us to learn to tell the Bible stories ourselves to children. That's a wonderful way of communicating the gospel to children. Telling them. That may be more of the emphasis of what's down there in Deuteronomy 6. The question, is this the application of what you're talking about? Is this the application of Christ to students? Or is that another thing?
Well, it could be. You know, there are, of course, several things taught, you know, in Titus about the older one teaching the younger. There's a lot of teaching that needs to be done at different ages, really. You know, the older women teaching the younger women, and there's really no age group necessarily legislated there. I just think that there's a tremendous amount of teaching from older people teaching younger people, and we as younger parents teaching our, of course, young children, and the application. You know, what you mentioned about Deuteronomy, teach and then continue as the days goes on and the daily activities. You know, that's real good. And in view of the fact of telling your kids stories, I love that. What I even like maybe a little bit more is for my children to tell me the Bible stories and to see what they have learned and what they have comprehended and maybe fill in the empty void along the way.
Titus 2, is that family situation?
You're talking about the older women teach younger women, etc.?
Do you view that just as a family situation?
Well, no, I don't view it only as a family situation. I never have. I tell you what, I didn't put a lot of thought and study into, you know, specific areas of Titus 2.
Right.
I have generally thought the older women of the faith teaching the younger women of the faith the things that's necessary for them to be, you know, good, godly, you know, women. But it would probably apply to a family situation, obviously, but I wouldn't limit it to a family situation. But that's off the cuff. I haven't necessarily put any time or attention to that.
That was my opinion.
Really appreciated what you had to say, Alan. I think that the point that we need to emphasize over and over, and you did, but I know it's a problem in my own life, is this needs to be a system that we do that's acceptable to our family, but it needs to be a regular thing. And it's, whatever Bible teaching we do is helpful, but if it's erratic, it's not nearly as helpful. And we'll regret that someday when a lot of unimportant things have gotten in the way. A couple of tools on these workbooks that you mentioned, they provide a real good framework for this kind of thing. And you have a Bible reading, which you go to and read on your own in private, and you answer the questions about it, come together as a family and talk about those questions. You're learning the objective material of what's in the text, and it provides a very easy springboard to discuss whatever issue you want to discuss. And like you said, you know, we're not in a race. We don't have to do it overnight. We just need to start some regular system of doing it. Another tool that was very helpful to us, we bought a book called The Picture Bible, and I'm not sure who publishes it. It's either Holman or Zondervan. I'm not sure about that. But it's written in cartoon form, and it deals with all of the stories in the Bible. The artwork is very good, and I think it's fairly accurate. That's one. Our kids took that to church when they were too little to read and wanted something to look at. It was Bible information. They asked a lot of questions about those pictures, you know, as time went on, and we got to talk about a lot of things.
Thank you, Alan. You know, those workbooks that you suggested were very helpful in my work there, and I appreciate it. I would encourage those of you who have not seen the particular workbooks he's encouraging there to come up here. And we've also got the Bible correspondence course that Alan and Richard are making available to the Brotherhood, and it's equally up here, too.
What I'm going to say ought to go without saying, but I'll say it anyway. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15, Paul admonishes Timothy, "Be thou an example of the believers, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." We ought to live our lives according to what we teach. If the children, of course I'm not a parent, but if the children see the way we live, and it's not according to the things that we're supposed to be teaching them, as you brought out, then all the teaching we're doing them is not going to amount to anything. We can cheat on our taxes and they know about it, or we can maybe bribe the officer that pulls us over with a $10 bill so that we won't get a ticket, or we could badmouth other people in the church, preachers, teachers, leaders, and people in the church. And by our example, we're going to totally negate everything we can teach.
Good thoughts.
Okay. One of the things I was going to say is exactly what Vince was saying. You know, they're going to see when we receive with meekness the implanted word, they're going to see that, and they're also going to do it. An example that we've got is one of our kids. All three of our kids are so different, but our middle boy, Jacob, he's got my temper. And so we have to deal with that, you know. And so one of the things we've tried to do is applicable scriptures to that problem, they have to memorize. And they have to get those scriptures memorized and apply them. So anymore, you know, when we say, Jacob, he says, I know Proverbs 29:11. A wise man keeps himself under control. You know, before we have to say anything to him, he knows what the problem is. And that's what we need to do. They need to know that whenever they have a problem, they can answer it with the Scriptures, or the Scriptures deal with that problem. A couple of things. My wife kind of pushed my arm up here, so. this picture Bible that Don was talking about is a Read and Grow picture Bible by Sweet Publishing Company. If anybody's familiar with Sweet Publishing Company, I believe in times past, maybe not now, they were affiliated with the Churches of Christ.
Standard Publishing.
Is Standard Publishing?
No, okay. It's Sweet Publishing, but they used to belong to Standard.
Standard, okay. So they were affiliated with the Churches of Christ. So they're very accurate. Probably the most accurate I have seen as far as a cartoon-type picture Bible. Very good. Our kids love it. They go through it 4 or 5 times a year. Also, another book that we had written down was What the Bible is All About for Young Explorers. It's like an introduction to the Scriptures for kids on their level. Kids like visual things. They like explanatory things that are simple, short, to the point. So those are some very good ones. But, you know, there's lots of different methods. We got to make the Bible apply to their particular situations. Also, finally, are we sacrificing on a golden altar of possessions the time that our children need from their mothers? Because more mothers in our congregations all over the country are devoting themselves to careers instead of raising their children, you know. I don't know whether it's the case where everybody else is, and this audience probably isn't representative of that fact, but I see a trend now where anymore people aren't willing to make the financial sacrifices that have to be made to keep the mother in the home where she's needed to raise her children.
Well, obviously the mother of the home, the woman of the home, is a special part that nobody can replace. You know, I can give several examples of the good God of women and what type of work they were able to do and convert many of their neighbors in their community as a result of a good mother reading and studying the Bible on a daily and a regular basis with the children.
I have several names, and I think we'll just stop taking names till I see how we make out with what we have here. So, Terry Bays. Well, now, that didn't mean y'all had to quit. We've got time. I just didn't want to. Clovis?
Did a pretty good job, son. I started when you was kind of small. I'm going to ask you what you think about these children playing church. You know, they imitate just what they see us do in the public church service, you know, and they'll sing. And somebody get up and preach, some little boy will, or something like that.
Well,
is that good? Is that a good influence, or should we?
I don't necessarily see any big harm in it, as long as, you know, you don't get out of hand. I've never thought much about it, truly. I know when we were small, my uncle, I used to go to my aunts and uncles, and I'd preach my sermons over there, and he'd get a cup of coffee in between sermons. And I know my sons have already wanted to get together and go through the items of the worship and have their singing and prayers and all that. That could lead into something bad if it wasn't monitored, I'm sure of that. Well, but as far as little kids, you know, 5 years old, 6 years old, doing what they've been taught to do from ground up, and I don't necessarily know.
Well, I was going to say, it ruined me, for one thing, because when I was a young man, I'd get my sisters out there and set up my little orange crates, you know, and I'd preach to them, they'd do the singing. They wasn't bad singers. I was probably the better part of the service, but we had a neighbor that lived across the street. We called her old lady DeGraff. She was a good woman. We shouldn't have dressed her like that, I guess. But anyway, she heard the singing. She heard the preaching. And when I did begin to preach, I went back to Wichita Falls, Texas, on my first preach. She came out here and preached. She said, I knew you was destined to be a preacher from the time you was 10 years old. And I said, well, you mistook those little church sessions we had over there. I said, that was my chance to get back at them girls. I never got a word in edgewise otherwise, and I thought then they couldn't talk back because they had to keep silent in the church. Never have quit.
I just like to put some emphasis on what Brother Don Freeman brought out there. He's expressed experience in teaching his child very young,
We cannot overemphasize how early a child can be taught. They will understand things that we teach them much earlier than we can even recognize, or that they can even tell us that they've learned it. Let's teach them early.
Those that are in videos, it's not in the area of teaching, but it's in the area of singing. There's a video out that has young kids. It's sings from the age 6 through about 10, and they do little skits, merry-go-round or something like that, and they sing religious songs. And I know I've got two grandkids. They call it their program. And they're just set glued to those songs, and they learn those religious songs, which may be good for others to know about as well.
We could take one more if somebody that I shut off wanted to be in.
Can I take a couple minutes to summarize a couple of thoughts here?
Yes, sir.
A couple of things that I said I would mention that I overlooked. And that was the different techniques used by various families. Now, I've only got a list of about five here. One family that I'm acquainted with said they read a chapter every morning at breakfast time before breaking up for the daily routine. That's one meal of the day they eat together, breakfast. However early necessary to get up, and the family, they eat breakfast together and they read one chapter of scripture and have at least one song they sing around the table as a family. And I've been in that particular family a number of times. One family practices question and answers after church, like on the way home, about what the preacher preached on, and question a number of things along the line of the children, see just how much they comprehended. Thirdly, a family that I'm acquainted with has purchased workbooks very similar to what we have here that we were talking about. Workbooks for the wife and the children to use, as well as the father of the home to use on a more extensive, on a continual and a regular basis. Another family has their children read simply one chapter a day while listening to it read by Alexander Scorber for good word pronunciations and everything. And the fifth one that I have here, and this is about a 30-minute exercise. So some may find that difficult, but you know, I've used it before to find it somewhat rewarding. Read the Bible story with the children, sing a couple of songs, and then, of course, each one pray its own prayer. You know, what as I do, some of these kids can pray a marathon prayer too. You know, praying for everything under the sun. But a lot of things can be used and beneficial and obviously much, much help. One thing that, and I really appreciate my mom and dad a lot, because I wouldn't be here today if it were not for them and what they've done for the first 17 years of my life. But one thing I remember, because obviously church was every day as far as, you know, church thoughts and religious activities in the home. But one thing that was really special to us, 4th of July meeting at Salford. The way we went to that meeting, we saved dimes from 1 year to the next year. We just had a big container and all the dimes went. Now I suggest you saving quarters or dollars or whatever the case might be. Set your goals and set your plans, and as a family unit, much can be obtained and heaven will be our return.